Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so get your Bible, turn it this time to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And we'll begin in just a moment in verse 17. We're studying a Sunday school lesson by E. A. Elam, written for the Sunday schools of June the 1st, 1924. And the title of the lesson is The Babylonian Exile. We're doing this as part of a study of the history that is in the Old Testament, and so pulling passages from Chronicles and the prophets together, we can piece together the history that God would want us to know of what happened to his people and how they had forsaken them, and so that is why they were carried into Babylonian captivity. And so we'll pick up again 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 17 in just a moment. Now before we do, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 17, we read that because the people had turned to the abominations of the idolatry of the nations around them, and God had sent his prophets to them, but they had mocked those prophets and despised God's words, that the wrath of Jehovah arose against his people till there was no remedy. And in 2 Chronicles 36:17 we read, Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or virgin, old man or hoary-headed. He gave them all into his hand. Therefore, the verse begins, it's because they had sinned beyond remedy, because the forbearance, mercy, and the abundance of God had failed upon them. He brought them into the king of the Chaldeans. And we're going to study for a while here how God overrules wicked kings and nations and calls them to serve him. We had read earlier on this program in class the Jeremiah's chapter 50 and 51 and others, where we learned that Nebuchadnezzar was called God's servant and battle axe and weapons of war, with which he broke into pieces the nations and destroyed kingdoms. And yet, Nebuchadnezzar did not intend this as a service to God. He was simply a wicked and heathen king. In his overruling power, God did all this. In the ordinary record of human events, it is said that Nebuchadnezzar did it. We see in Daniel chapter 4. This question should be studied until all know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth over it the lowest of men. That the heavens do rule, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing in God's sight. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand, or say to him, What doest thou? You may read some of this from Daniel chapter 4. He changes the times and the seasons, and removeth kings and setteth up kings. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. Paul declared at Athens that God gives to all life and breath and all things, and he made of one every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitations. Acts 17, 25 through 26. Jesus, he is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and the King of kings and Lord of Lords, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. We read in Proverbs 8 verses 15 and 16, "By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." Jeremiah 18:1 through 12 describes that nations in God's hands are as clay in the hands of the potter. We read in Jeremiah 18, "The word which came to Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and therefore I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was making a work on the wheels. And when the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith Jehovah? Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, and to break down, and to destroy it, if that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I sought to do to them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant, if they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. But they say, It is in vain, for we will walk after our own devices, and we will do every one after the stubbornness of his evil heart." You see, according to the clay, the potter makes vessels of honor or of dishonor. According to the nation, its wickedness or its righteousness, God uses it to serve his purpose. So he uses the Jews and the Chaldeans. So he used Judas and Peter. So he uses Jesus and Satan. And so he uses nations and individuals now. And so we see the punishment. Nebuchadnezzar went up against Jerusalem in the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim. That's when this captivity began. Jehoiakim was put in chains for the purpose of carrying him to Babylon. But it seems Nebuchadnezzar changed his purpose and retained Jehoiakim as king. 2 Chronicles 36, 5 and 6. We've seen how Jehoiakim was reduced to submission and how he died. Nebuchadnezzar went against Jerusalem again in the reign of Jehoiachin when the second captivity took place. The siege of this lesson began on the 10th day of the 10th month of the 9th year of the reign of Zedekiah and continued until the 9th day of the 4th month in the 11th year of his reign, 18 months. During this time, there was a short succession when the Chaldeans went to fight back the Egyptians. We read about that in Jeremiah 37:11. The inhabitants of Jerusalem were reduced to the great suffering and sorest famine. And the book of Lamentations describes the horrible famine and the great desolation of this siege. We read in the book of Lamentations chapter 2 verses 11 and 12, "My eyes do fail with tears. My heart is troubled, my liver is poured upon the earth, because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the young children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of their city, to say to their mothers, Where is grain and wine? When they swoon as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul is poured out into their mother's bosom." We read in Lamentations, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. See, O Jehovah, and behold, to whom thou hast done thus. Shall the women eat their fruit, the children that are the daddled in their hands? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The youth and the old men lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast slaughtered and not pitied. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. For the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the sin of Sodom, that was overthrown as in a moment with no hands laid upon her. Her nobles were purer than snow, they were whiter than milk, they were more ruddy in body than rubies, they were polished as of a sapphire, their visages blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets, their skin cleaveth to their bones, it is withered, it is become like a stick. They that are slain with the sword are better than they that are slain with hungry. For even these pine away, stricken enough for want of fruit of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have boiled their own children. They were the food in the destruction and the daughter of my people. Jeremiah advised long before the submission to the Chaldeans in order to avoid all this suffering. But for his wise counsel, he was persecuted. When God's people were obedient to him, he advised them not to submit to the heathen nations and always gave them the victory over their enemies. But now, the greatest mercy he could show was to advise submission. At the time mentioned above, the complete downfall of the nation and destruction of the city came. It seems from Jeremiah 33:4 that the houses within Jerusalem were torn down to strengthen the walls, weakened by the enemy's battering rams. But to no avail. A breach was finally made in the wall. And when this was done, Zedekiah and the men of war fled by night and were overtaken in the plains of Jericho. Zedekiah's sons were slain before his eyes, and all the nobles of Judah was slain. In Jeremiah chapter 39 we read, beginning in verse 1, It came to pass, when Jerusalem was taken, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, a breach was made in the city, and all the princes of the kings of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, to wit, Nergal-Sizazar, Shamgar-Nebo, Sarshikim, Rabsaris. And turning the page here, Nergal-Sizazar, Ragama, with the rest of the princes of the kings of Babylon. And it came to pass, when Zedekiah the king of Judah and all the men of war saw them, that they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, through the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out toward the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, to Riblah, and the land of Hamath, and he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house, and the houses of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the residue of the people that remained in the city, and the deserters also that fell away to him, and the residue of the people that remained. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people that had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time.